this week I got to talk with Lee Dunlap about her Southern snarky mystery thriller, Bless Your Heart. And we talked about how her relationship with her son even impacted writing this. We talk about what a Buckhead Betty is and why she wanted to write about them. So here is what it's about. Anderson Tupper, a member of one of Atlanta's richest families, has been murdered in the dugout of the Little League field where he was a volunteer coach. And it's up to Detective Shay Claypool, a single mother from the other side of town, to find his killer. With the exclusive area of Buckhead threatening to secede from the city of Atlanta and take its tax revenue with it, Shay is under pressure to solve the murder of one of Buckhead's own. Accustomed to handling drug dealers and prostitutes, she must now contend with an even more sinister group, the Buckhead Bettys, the insufferably entitled women of Georgia's most affluent zip code. One of them might be a murderer, but who? Is it the old money queen of Buckhead, the mysterious new girl in town, the drug-dealing trophy wife? It seems secrets and lies are as plentiful as luxury handbags in Atlanta, and everyone's guilty of something. Shay's investigation will make her examine her own prejudices and discover that, as women and mothers, she might not be that different from the Bettys after all. And if she isn't careful, they may take her down with them. This one is comped to, like, May Cobb and Geneva Rose books, and I can't agree with that more. If you're needing something to read after watching The Hunting Wives, you definitely want to look at Bless Your Heart. And also, if you loved One of Us is Dead by Geneva Rose, I really think you will love this one. So, that being said, let's hear from Lee. I am so excited to talk about Bless Your Heart for people who are watching on video. It is a very pretty cover. But I did want to get to know a little bit about you first. So I know you've been a screenwriter as well. When did you know you wanted to write, or what was the first idea you had that you wrote? How did that journey happen for you?
I always wanted to write since I was a little kid, and honestly, I'm terrible at math. So there weren't a lot of other options, but, you know, obviously sort of had some kind of affinity for it. And I grew up in Studio City, California. I was born in Missouri, but spent most of my life in Studio City. You know, literally where there are studios. It's called Studio City for a reason. And I went to school with, like, kids who were the children of TV actors and stuff. So it's, you're always kind of surrounded by it. So writing scripts wasn't like a crazy idea, and I'm sure for maybe other people who didn't grow up in Studio City, it might seem like impossible. But
that's
it
just what was just
like,
dawning on me. Like, if you grow up around it, you probably do think it's more attainable.
Yeah. You just think, oh, that's just like you hear the industry town. It's an industry town. It's like working in a town that has coal mines or something. That's just what everybody does. And so I decided that's what I wanted to do. And of course, you know, I was a child of television. I was my babysitter. So I grew up on it and loved movies. So I went to USC film school and studied screenwriting specifically. And then struggled for a long time worked at a talent agency. So stayed in the business, learned a lot. And then did have some success, which was great. It was definitely not overnight. A long struggle. It still continues to be a struggle. But then came up against the pandemic with, you know, like everyone else, what do I do now? And then the writer strike. So it was really a 1-2 punch there. So decided I'll try to write a book. So I did. Here I am.
That's amazing. What is your writing process like? And did writing screenplays affect how you kind of built your writing process for novels?
Probably. You know, I know there are books that are very literary and, you know, go in unexpected places. I think mine's very plot oriented. And That definitely comes from screenwriting.
Yeah.
So that's just how my mind works. You tell me a story, I instantly kind of break it down, and I'm that annoying person that goes to movies and like, I know what happens,
I
kind of
know.
thing.
I
You're
read
that. You're
Stacy
that
Catt
too.
writes a novel, and now
Oh.
I'm like, Tyler, this feels like the midpoint. Is this a
It's a
midpoint?
midpoint. Wait, third, are we in the third act?
Did we just
They're
break into
dropping
three?
stuff. So I mean, yeah. So it definitely impacted how I at least set out to write it, and the structure of it. And then all bets are off. I kind of been laughing talking about it because it's true that you have to use so many more words in a book than you do in a screenplay. It's because literally, and that sounds so simple, but in a screenplay, I have to give you the most information I possibly can in this very, very tight space. And so I'd sit down to write, whatever scene in a book, and I even feel weird calling it scenes, chapter in a
It
book.
is.
It is, they're like, they're scenes. And I would do that, and I would get frustrated a little bit because I just want to say, she enters, he exits, this happens. Just it will know. You've got to actually describe it. So,
Describe how they're walking, not
but
just
that
like
was
walk
fun.
them out.
Yeah, that's just like they're gone. Well, people will understand. So that was an adjustment, but it was a fun one. It's a whole new thing. It's kind of a different language, but at the same time, I guess it's more like a different dialect. You're
Yeah, that's a
speaking the
good way to put
same
it.
language, but there are different things about it. So yeah, that was my experience.
That's really cool. What was your inspiration for setting it in Buckhead? Or just the inspiration in general? What was your inspiration for this story with
Well, I
these
lived in
crazy
Buckhead.
women?
I lived in Buckhead. I was not a Buckhead Betty, but I lived there for almost 10 years, and my son spent a lot of his youth there, and he played Little League baseball. Literally, there's a scene opens the book at the baseball field and at a Little League game for like 10 and 11-year-olds, and another mother from another team says a very bad word, yells it out at one of the kids, and that happened at a game, one of our first games that we were at. And I remember sitting there thinking, what is this? Like, that's crazy. And evidently it's not crazy. Evidently it just happens. Like, that's not unusual anywhere. But it was a surprise for me. But then I thought, like, what else are these people capable of? And it just kind of went from there. And these Buckhead Bettys, which are like the Karens of Atlanta. I thought somebody needs to write about these people. And I thought, well, it'd be fun to write something funny about them. And then there's no plot. So, come up with something to write. And it just went to murder.
I mean, the fun part with thrillers, like you're saying, you need plot to happen, but the like dark comedy just does so well in a thriller as well. Like I loved the tone of it all too.
Oh,
So
good. Good, good,
yeah,
good.
I think
Yeah,
that's
I
always
mean,
fun.
I wanted it to be fun. And it feels weird to say that because someone dies,
I
but
know.
still, I wanted it to be fun.
Yeah,
So
and I know
glad it was.
I was just looking at it again when I was reading the synopsis for the intro, and the Geneva Rose and May Cobb comps are so good because it totally reminded me of One of Us is Dead, I think is Geneva
Yeah,
Rose's that's
which
in
takes place in Atlanta,
that's in
which I
Atlanta as
didn't know
well.
until after I read my book. I was like, oh, there's another book about Buckhead.
I
But it was a
mean,
great book.
it's that popular. I
Yeah,
remember
it's a new
going
thing.
to yeah I we were we did some behind the scenes on one of the sets in Atlanta, like one
Oh,
of
yeah.
my basically I produce a podcast for a comedian named Miss Pat, and she had a show that filmed there. So we went
Okay.
there, and I even like before I had read either of these books, she was like, you don't want to go to Buckhead. She's like, they're fancy, they're crazy up there, but it's
Fancy.
a lot like it's a lot like a city here in Indy called Carmel. And she was like, you just don't need to go there.
It there, I mean, it's everywhere, right? It's Beverly Hills, it's the Upper East Side, West Side, whatever it is in New York, and Charleston, I'm sure too.
Oh yeah, I'm
Yeah,
sure.
they exist everywhere. They just
They
happen to
do.
have a name in Atlanta.
Yeah, they do. So the main character, she's a detective, and she is not, she doesn't give Buckhead Betty vibes. She's very like
She's not
grounded.
a
Yeah.
Buckhead
And she feels, not that those women can't be complex, she feels a little more layered, a little less surface level. So what was building her character like? Because she does kind of feel like the outsider since she doesn't like
Yeah.
fit that group. What was it like building her character?
Well, she did have to be, the other side of this, because she's the person coming into to that situation, and she has all her own prejudgments about what it is to be a Buckhead Betty and to live in that part of Atlanta. So all that stuff was kind of easy, just what somebody would think, what probably I think, what other people thought of me when I lived there. So that was easy, but I wanted her to be as normal and real as possible. And I always say that there are a lot of characters in this book. So six female characters, and in a way, other than one of them, there's a part of me probably in every one of them in some way. And she's one of the ones that's probably closer to me, and especially her relationship with her son. It's kind of like my relationship with my son. So it was kind of easy for me to riff off of her son sort of being like my son, and go from there, and to kind of touch on those kind of things about being a mom to a boy.
And she's a single mom who's also working, obviously. But it really kind of adds to the emotional stakes of the story too, that she's both of those things. So did you kind of want that to be there, that there were some more like emotional stakes for her?
Definitely. Ultimately, I think this is so much about mothers and motherhood, and particularly mothers of boys. And as much as we all like to find the differences, in every way in each other, I think we have more in common than we have differences, and especially mothers. So, you have different experiences, but you also have just a wealth of experience that you can all understand. So it was her in particular, and that bond with her son, and like I said, sort of my bond with my son, that was really important.
Then with the other ladies, like you're saying, they can be related to maybe through their motherhood, but like we were talking about, they're wild, they're glamorous, they're kind of dangerous, they're kind of mean. Was that just like kind of like archetypes of characters? What was kind of the inspiration, the process of creating those women?
Sometimes it was just in my mind trying to think of different people I've known in my life, and trying to find distinctive characters and distinctive characteristics of different women I've known. I mean, these women, like I said, most of them are some aspect of me, good or bad. On my good days or bad days, a lot on bad days.
Same.
Is that right? So yeah, it was just, and then it just went from there, trying to find that one little thread to hang on to that I could build a character around.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the other thing that's going on in the story is the city is even trying to secede from I almost said Atlanta, from Georgia itself, which really brought up there are some like political layers, there's some socioeconomic layers to it. What drew you to include those and kind of talk about those topics?
Yeah, it is actually it's the city of Buckhead trying to get out of Atlanta, which is
Oh, it is
something
out of
that they
Atlanta.
really
Oh, sorry.
do. Every couple of years they try to leave Atlanta because Atlanta's a big city. Buckhead is a small area, but they pay the vast majority of the taxes for the entire city. So they get whiny every so often and try to have a vote to try to succeed. If it loses every time. So I wanted, there had to be that extra layer. It couldn't just be, oh, hopefully we solve this murder. Solving the murder had to be important. And so that seemed like a great way to get it in, this idea of a rich area kind of abandoning a larger city and taking their tax dollars with them and what that would do to the city. And that is the big thing that happens in Atlanta. That is the big issue every time it comes up. I mean, it would make it very hard for the rest of Atlanta to have services if Buckhead left. But Buckhead feels like they don't get services.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not looked after. It's an interesting thing, and it was a great way. I was glad that they do it because it gave me that extra added, we better solve this murder or this thing might pass.
Yeah, totally. It also kind of gets into like the racial tensions that are in the city as well that just have not gone away. Did you kind of see and experience that when you were there? Is that kind of part of why you worked it into the story as well?
I don't think you can talk about Atlanta without dealing with that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yes, there are tensions for sure, like everywhere. Mm-hmm. Atlanta is one of the more progressive cities, though. So that's also something to sort of think about. Mm-hmm. But there's no way I was going to write this book without just dealing with that and just prejudice on a general level, whether it's, you know, because someone has too much money or not enough money, or they're pretty or they're not pretty. Just the preconceived notions we all come into situations with. But that's the racial thing is really important in Atlanta. And you know, I have a friend group and we're very diverse, and it was nice to be able to go to people and say, you know, am I okay here? You know, is this okay to talk about? And it's something we talk about as a friend group, you know, and they're all girls in Buckhead, and, you know, and in Buckhead, although it's very white, is also has diversity. And they, you know, a black person in Buckhead maybe has to deal a little bit with the idea of, you think you're too good to be, for the rest of us, you live in Buckhead, you know, kind of thing. So then you're being prejudged because of the money you have. So it's kind of like there's no winning sometimes. So that's
there's
where that
not
came from.
With that kind of stuff. And you just can't care what other, I mean, it's hard not to, but you kind of have to not care what other people think mostly.
You got to try. and just, I don't know, I'll be trite and just try to be nice to people. You know, just everybody be nice, which is, of course, such a simplistic thing to such a complicated, never-ending issue. But it was good to explore it just a tiny bit. It's a part of the book. It's not, you know, the overriding thing as much as it's a part of Atlanta and not the overriding thing.
Yeah, totally. It kind of felt, this was one of the things too, one of the books too, where the setting almost feels like a character, like it's that important.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of by design, or was it just like, kind of, if you wanted to have it in this location, it was just like important to have it be that
both
important?
I mean, yeah, I mean, in Atlanta, I don't think Atlanta gets talked about a lot, strangely. I mean, obviously in TV.
Yeah, I really
you
don't read
stuff.
A lot of books in there.
You don't read a lot
it.
Of books about Atlanta, and I think you could tell sometimes when someone doesn't really know Atlanta. So I, you know, I was very, very familiar with Atlanta, and I felt like there was a lot to draw on there. And the more I could kind of weave in the real Atlanta, to make it just so somebody understands, you know, what the city is. So I hope I gave a little glimpse into what Atlanta's really like.
So it is like a whodunit. We're trying to figure out who it is. So there's, of course, like some red herrings throughout it as well.
No.
And with those, I always wonder if the author like knew where they were headed or if they were surprising themselves while they wrote it. So did you know who the murderer was, or did you kind of like discover as you wrote it?
It's funny, you're not the only person who's asked me that. And to me, I can't even imagine that somebody can write something and not know.
That's how I feel. I am always shocked by the people that are like,
some people say that?
more people than not.
Wow.
Say they like surprising themselves while they write. But like when I go to start something, I'm like, I need to know where I'm headed.
Yeah, right? You need to know where you're headed. How do you build it? How do you get there? How do you even know if it's a worthy journey?
Right.
Obviously some people, I guess, do it successfully. Yeah. So I knew where it was going. I'm very big on index cards and post-it notes. And, you know, I do it over and over and over again until I have something kind of structure. I know what's going on. And even then, I mean, I end up having to rip it apart and put it back together again.
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine going from nothing to writing a whole book, because you must totally get messed up with that. So
I don't know how they do it. I've been doing this for 4 years now. And I remember like the first person who said that, I was like, wait, what? And then it's just like, I feel like it's like 70% of thriller authors that I talk with are like, no, I don't know. Huh. I'm like, okay, all right, cool.
Well, God bless them. They can figure it out.
Yes.
I don't think I could.
Yeah.
I don't want to rip it apart too many times to try to put it back together again.
No. That's how I would feel.
Right.
Speaking of God bless them, the title is Bless Your Heart, which is this really fun phrase that like isn't always actually nice. They're like,
it
bless her heart. Or sometimes it's the precursor to the talk shit about someone and pretend like you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Which kind of like mirrors some of the tension of like what looks pretty versus like what's actually happening in the book. So was that kind of like just in your mind? I know you may not have even chosen your title, but
I didn't. The title I had all along and literally that I fought for was The Buckhead Betties.
I do like that title too.
I liked it. But they, you know, the publishers brought up a very good point that not everybody knows what a Buckhead Betty is, and most people actually do not know what a Buckhead Betty is.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, come up with a bunch of different titles. And I scoured the book, and Bless Your Heart was on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one they went with. And that one seems to be getting good reaction too. And like you said, it fits.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And I guess it's nice not to have the learning curve of a Buckhead Betty to have to deal with.
That's true.
So we'll see.
Was there a specific character that was like the most fun to write, or did you just
Birdie Milton?
Like... Yes.
Birdie Milton, who's sort of the queen bee, non-filtered, super uber bad word. I won't say a Buckhead. But I think also a little complicated, and there's more to her than you think. When you get to write a character who just will say anything and put anybody down, that's fun.
It's kind of cathartic, I would assume. Like kind of like pretending like you could be a person who like says every thought on your mind.
everything you ever wanted to say and not care.
My husband and I talk about it sometimes. We're like, life would actually be so much easier if you were just like a sociopath and didn't care about people's feelings. Like
I guess so, if you didn't have guilt.
Or
maybe you would be because you were a sociopath.
Like, that's
it
true
didn't
that's
matter
true
to you. Yeah, there's that book Don't Give a blank UCK or whatever it is, and you know there's something to be said for that, but I do. Birdie Milton would destroy me on a daily basis.
She goes right for the throat. Was there something that drew you to writing thrillers, and kind of specifically what we were talking about, was there something that drew you to this like nice facade but like other stuff going on?
No, in fact, I was talking about this with someone yesterday. I don't even read thrillers, which I do now because I'm trying to catch up on everybody and learn how they
all
write.
That's impressive. You wrote such a good one.
Well, I mean, it's a TV, right? It's like, I've seen thrillers on TV.
That's true.
So I have the structure of that. I read almost exclusively before this nonfiction. But I thought, you know, when we were talking earlier about, well, you need a plot. So what's the most fun plot, you know, with these tough, maybe sometimes horrible people
Right.
Well, someone needs to die, obviously.
Yes.
So I'll kill somebody and let's see where that takes us.
Yeah.
So that was fun to do. Originally mm-hmm. I thought, I'll do a funny book about Buckhead Betty's.
Mm-hmm.
But if nothing happens, who
that's
cares?
That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's the hard part. It's not a column, you know.
Yeah, you gotta fill the pages.
Gotta fill the pages with something. So hopefully I came up with a good one.
Yeah, well, I think you did.
Thank you.
yeah, you're welcome. Oh, I just lost my thought. I just had another question. I know, I just had another question from what you just said. What would it have been?
Nonfiction, nonfiction. Murder. killing people.
Oh yeah, did you do any research about how to get away with murder or like the intricacies of that, or had you just kind of seen enough thrillers before to kind of know how to work with it?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to get some bad comments that I don't deal with probably some things as well as I should. Mm-hmm. Too late.
Right.
But the only thing I did regard it, it re, and I won't give anything away in the book, but it had to do with blood. Mm. And I was living in Las Vegas at the time. So I contacted the detectives of the Las Vegas Police Department and asked them a question, and they were very nice to reply to me.
Yeah.
So that was the only sort of big thing. I'm sure I Googled things along the way. I think I spent a lot of time on Googling things, so there must have been more than that. But yeah, I know there are some writers who are very accurate.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, it doesn't always
This
happen.
Is more of a, just a story.
Yeah.
Go with it or don't.
No, this one, when people start freaking out about like, oh, well, I thought this was true because I read it in fiction. I'm like, well, that is your problem. And you should have like fact checked yourself, not just been like, well, this author said it this way. And it's like, that was a fictional book.
No. Don't believe everything you see on TV either.
Yeah, that too. The other thing I always wonder with, especially like thrillers that include comedy is we are fans of a lot of comedians. And so you hear how they kind of like write stuff, but then they maybe go back in to punch it up. So was this just kind of like your tone just as you wrote it? Or did you do anything where you kind of like went in and punched up the comedy a little bit?
That's funny. I just saw Nate Bargatze.
Oh, yeah.
Who's great. He's one of my favorites.
Hilarious.
And I think it was maybe the second stop on his new tour.
Oh, yeah.
So he was definitely kind of, you know, trying stuff out. And it'll be interesting to see what the final version is.
It is fun to see that.
It is. But this, no, it's just kind of how I write.
Yeah.
It's just me. It's just me. I'm a weirdo. I don't know what to say.
Or you can just be with us weirdos who don't think this is weird.
Yeah. We'll just pretend. Right.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Right. Well, obviously I loved it. I thought it was so much fun.
So nice to hear. Thank you.
I know The Hunting Wives just came out on Netflix. Yeah. So as well, I almost included this in one of my posts, but then I was like, nobody can buy it right now. Cause I did a post about it like last week, like here's some books to read if you loved this show.
Oh, nice.
But so this is me now saying that you guys can all add it to the list of books to read if you really loved watching that show.
Thanks.
So I just loved it. And I think it's perfect for summer. I'm seeing a lot of people talking about just needing like a summery, bingeable thriller.
The end of summer read.
Yes. And this one just feels like it. So everyone needs to go grab their copy and just like giggle and solve the murder.
That's but, so nice, Kate. Thank you.
You're welcome. I do also ask, and I read both. I read nonfiction too. But I do always ask if you've read anything recently that you've loved as well.
Oh, so many
genre.
Books. Because like I said, I've just kind of jumped into this world.
Yeah.
All the Colors of the Dark, Chris Whitaker's book, but it was beautifully written.
Yeah.
Emily Carpenter wrote a book,
Gothic
Town, that takes place in North Georgia. And actually Emily's going to interview me at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, that's awesome.
Next weekend. So she's being
that's
very
perfect.
Cool about that. Oh, Caroline Cleveland has a book because I did a lot of Southern things when cicadas cry, and I'm reading Hank Philippi Ryan right now, The House Guest. So yeah, just Christopher Swan and Carter Wilson
Well,
and.
Carter Wilson's, he has so many and he's so cool.
And how do people write all these books?
I don't know.
I'm just shocked. Oh, and Kara Ruda. And Aggie Bloom Thompson.
Oh yeah, that, what did that just come, it just
The
came out.
perfect the family. Oh gosh, what's it called? The Perfect Family. I can't remember, but it's so good.
I feel
I
like I
don't.
know
Yeah,
what
look
you're
it up. I
talking
want to
about.
get it
She had a new
right.
one just come out that
Oh no,
would,
did I
it's the
haven't read the
other
newest
one.
one?
Yeah. Let me, my internet. There we go. Get it for you guys. It's Bloom Thompson, right?
Yep.
BLUM. Yep. Oh,
Yep.
Such a Lovely Family.
Such a Lovely Family. That was a fun read.
That is a really pretty cover, too.
And a cool cover. So yeah, and I've got a stack of books.
Yeah,
Just
always.
trying to catch up.
Yes.
And someday I'll be able to get back to nonfiction, but not for a while.
Yeah. You're like, I need to learn this stuff
I
too.
need to learn.
Yeah, that's so cool though. I can't believe you hadn't read them until recently. That's
No, but it's been a
so
fun journey.
cool.
I'm almost happy I hadn't, you know,
Yeah,
just
that's a
because
good
you get
point.
to
It wasn't
this
like
whole new
coloring
world.
what you wrote. Yeah.
And then,
Yeah.
like one of the last books I read was the biography of Andrew Carnegie, which
Oh
was
wow.
huge. And I want to say it took me like 3 years to read.
Oh
It
my
just
gosh.
so long,
Oh yeah.
So it's nice to get to a book of like, ooh, I can read this in like 2 days and
Yeah,
have this great
nonfiction is different.
experience.
Yeah, sometimes there's like, I listened to Girl on Girl is this really good nonfiction that just came out that's all about how in the 90s and the 2000s the media kind of turned women against each other.
Oh
And
wow.
it was so fascinating. And that was one that I was able to like read relatively quickly. I did listen to it. But I know what you mean. Then there are other nonfictions where you're like, okay, I'm gonna just sit with little parts of this and take my time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
Yeah.
then at the end you feel like, "Oh, I'm a little bit smarter today." But
Right.
it took a while.
Yeah, totally. Well, those are some great options, book-wise. I'm gonna have
Yeah,
to
lots
include
of
those
great books out.
links.
I mean, and just every day there's a new one.
Yeah.
And
Oh, I know. There is. I
now
just
I'm adding to the pile.
Yes. Well, where can people go to stay up to date with all of your writing and stuff?
I have a website. It's called leedunlapwrites.com.
Nice.
And I'm on Instagram, which is at dunlapwrites,
Okay.
and Facebook and
Yeah.
Twitter. I don't tweet too much. Twitter
That's okay.
X. I'm sorry. I can't keep up with all of these things.
I mean, calling it
Threads
X
and
is just, it's just weird.
X X. When I do my accounting at the end of every month and I have to put in, X. It's just like X.
Yeah.
I had to pay for my X subscription.
It is
But I know
weird.
I always go there for breaking news anyways,
Yeah.
or
Yeah.
stuff on the Oasis tour. Oh, one or the other.
Right, right. Awesome. Well, I will put the links to your stuff in the show notes so people
Thank
can
you.
go
That's so nice.
follow. And yeah, thank you for coming and talking with me about, I'm going to say the Buckhead Betties, but it's also
Thanks,
called Bless Your Heart.
Kate.